Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine-washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new. Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to do a little fun exercise right here with one of the best NFL draft experts in the country for CBS Sports, and that, of course, is Chris Trapasso. We're going to do a top 10 mock draft. I'm going to take the odd picks, and Chris is going to take the even picks, and we're just going to see what does transpire after our five selections each. First off, Chris, appreciate you doing this as always. How you been?
I've been really good. This is fun. This is what we should be doing a week out from the draft. I mean, it feels like the draft could already be here, but we have to fill some air until next weekend. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And this top 10 should be a lot of fun.
And you know what's so compelling about this is there's so many times, like earlier in the week, I made 10 predictions for this NFL draft. And then I'm thinking about, okay, if Chris says this, how is this going to mess up my predictions? And I basically just ripped everything up in the air. I was like, all right, whatever I said in the past, it's out the window. This is a brand new, fresh edition. Chris Trapasso, Zach Gelb, top 10 mock draft.
Yeah, and it's like, outside of the first overall pick, and I'm pretty sure I know which direction you're going in, it's like, what happens after that? I mean, there's a lot of times, and like the past couple of years, we know who's going one. There's Joe Burrow, there's Trevor Lawrence, number two, number three, and it's like the draft doesn't start until pick four, pick five. This year, it's at pick two, and we don't really know which teams are in on these quarterbacks, who doesn't like them. There's a lot more intrigue at the top of this draft than I can remember in a very long time.
And I think the only thing we know, and that's what I'll make my selection first overall, the Carolina Panthers are going to take Bryce Young. And it's funny because I remember being on the air the night when they made that trade to move up into the number one spot and the Chicago Bears fall back to nine. The immediate feel was it was going to be CJ Stroud. And it really does kind of remind me of a few years ago when you saw the 49ers move into the three spot. And right away, everyone was like, oh, it was Chris Sims, who came out and said, who's like best friends with Kyle Shanahan, that it was going to be Mac Jones. And eventually it was Trey Lance. Young is the right pick. I think he's the best quarterback in this draft class. But it is kind of interesting to me, Chris Trapasso, how they had to be won over by Bryce Young. And it appeared to be like Stroud was the initial choice.
Yeah, it was interesting that at the owners meetings, Frank Reich came out and said, like, hey, it's not going to be Will Levis, not going to be Anthony Richardson, but it's between either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. I think it's truly not that there's any infighting going on in Carolina, but it's the classic example of like the owner might love someone, the head coach might love someone, the GM might feel differently. They have to spend those weeks, and they probably did after they made that trade to get to one, to all have at least somewhat of a consensus opinion. And it does appear that it is going to be Bryce Young.
So I thought for sure, depending on who would go one, who would go two, that it was going to be in some order, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. Your first selection is the second pick with the Houston Texans. And you wake up this week and it's like, uh-oh, wait a second. Maybe it's not going to be CJ Stroud, because we know the Texans really wanted Bryce Young. So what is Chris Trapasso doing with the number two overall pick to the Texans?
All right, I'm going to follow the trade winds or the winds that are going around now, the rumors with the Texans. They're not going to pick a quarterback. They're going to select Will Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama. With D'Amico Ryans there, the head coach, who spent time in San Francisco with Nick Bosa, who was just like a slam dunk edge rusher when he came into the league in 2019. Will Anderson isn't quite as good, but I could see Ryan's kind of leaning in that direction to say, hey, look, this guy's been productive for multiple seasons. He's young. He could get better. I understand the impact that a premier edge rusher can have on my defense. and ultimately lean in that direction, still knowing that one of these quarterbacks could fall to them either at 12 overall or within striking distance of them, where they can move up just a little bit. They have a litany of picks to then pick that quarterback later, not just at number two.
But doesn't that scare you at all? Because I operate under the belief that if you're going to take a quarterback, you may as well not get into that game of, okay, we're at 12. Maybe we'll move up to go get our guy. Like, if you believe in the quarterback, just take him at two.
I 100% agree. But we did say off the air that this is going to be what we think will happen.
Yes.
And from what you just said, the fact that these rumors are out there, I don't understand like what leverage or what advantage the Texans could be gaining from this. And you're right that I think most teams operate that way, that they're like, hey, we need a quarterback. We're here at number two. Let's just pick him. Why these rumors are all of a sudden swirling around makes me think that there is some credence to them, and that that defensive player might be actually prioritized with that number two overall pick. They just don't love the idea of any of the quarterbacks outside of Bryce Young at number two.
It's almost like they're trying to get the flame to go out, so it's not a real shock at draft night when they're on the clock at number two. And they go, well, Anderson, who I think is going to be a phenomenal player, but you know how fans are. They want quarterback, 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 especially with the Texans, who are trying to find that next guy after Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a pretty good theory. That would not shock me, especially with all the negative press that the Houston organization has had over the last couple of years, to put it out there and kind of let their fans know and let the NFL world know, to kind of brace ourselves for it not being a quarterback in a position with a team that certainly has a gigantic quarterback need.
Let me just ask you one more note on the Texans. I know the thought right now is it's going to be Bryce Young, number one overall. But with the initial report out there that they made that move, and it was Joe Person who had it from The Athletic, who covers the Panthers, saying that the Panthers were going to intend to draft CJ Stroud. Is there any way on draft night on Thursday we see a trade where the Texans move up to one and then the Panthers fall back to two and the Texans then could draft Bryce Young?
Well, I think it would be a good idea that if you're that close to a quarterback that you apparently really, really like, and you think that you wouldn't have to trade a ton to move up one pick, certainly to get the quarterback to pick that guy, Bryce Young, over the Panthers, they would certainly ask for a fair amount. I think you would have to do it at this point if you're Nick Caserio, the GM. And for D'Amico Ryans, yes, a defensive guy with the history in San Francisco, he'll probably lean a defensive player, but there's nothing better to start your head coaching career with a franchise signal caller. They should certainly explore that option, because if they want to build up this team and they expect to be better next season, they're probably not going to have as good of a chance to pick a premier quarterback in the 2024 draft.
Chris Trapasso here with us. So the first two picks off the board, I have the Panthers taking Bryce Young. You have the Texans at two going Will Anderson. I'm going to do a little curveball here with the third overall pick. I'm going to do our first trade. I'm going to have the Raiders from seven moving up to three. Now, I do think CJ Stroud's the second best quarterback available, but when I have the Raiders moving up to three, I don't think Stroud is a good fit for them because he's NFL ready and you have Jimmy Garoppolo that you just inked to a new contract. I'm going to say Anthony Richardson is the pick here, where you have the Raiders moving up to three, and then they end up taking Anthony Richardson, which you could have him sit for a year or two and learn behind Jimmy Garoppolo.
How fascinating would that be to have Josh McDaniels pick a quarterback that's not like Jimmy G, that's not like Tom Brady, the polar opposite of those two quarterbacks? What I would like, and what I would somewhat liken it to being here in Buffalo, this is kind of an underlying or like an underrated story in Josh Allen's development, that he throughout the years has pointed to the fact that he had Matt Barkley as his backup, who is the polar opposite quarterback of Josh Allen's talent, his ability, and his weaknesses. So he's repeatedly mentioned that Matt Barkley, being an anticipatory thrower, having to understand protections and read coverages, he helped a lot early in Josh Allen's career to take that next step, to show him that he can't just fire 100-mile-per-hour fastballs every single time out, and to understand where he needs to go with the football to make better decisions. With Richardson there under the tutelage of Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh McDaniels, I think it would actually be a really nice setup for him that, again, of course, would not have him rushed onto the field right away.
Chris Trapasso here with us. A lot of reports, and you have the fourth pick, have the Colts taking Will Levis, but in this mock draft, C.J. Stroud is available. I would like to think Indianapolis is taking a quarterback, but what do you think they're going to do here?
I'm going to go C.J. Stroud here. Yes, we have gotten those reports of late that it is more Will Levis than C.J. Stroud at the top. I'm going to go with Stroud, with Stroud, because I think he's just the better overall quarterback. I think he just checks the boxes and is more pro ready than Will Levis. There will be some intrigue because of the Shane Steichen, their head coach, and his connection to Jalen Hurts and how much running he did in Philadelphia under Shane Steichen as his offensive coordinator. And certainly Will Levis is more that guy than CJ Stroud, but the Colts, their GM, Chris Ballard, they need to win now. They can't have a developmental player, which I think is more of what Will Levis is at the quarterback spot. With CJ Stroud, they get someone that's ready to go week one. Maybe doesn't have insane upside, but I think is going to be a pretty good starter for a long time in the NFL.
So I'm going to make my pick in just a second on the Seahawks. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have them taking a quarterback. Do you think there's a shot that either the Seahawks or the Lions, back-to-back 5-6, you got Geno Smith and Jared Goff, they end up taking a quarterback here with whoever's left?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance, but I do think it will matter which player is there. And with you already picking Anthony Richardson, I think if he's there at 5, Pete Carroll and John Schneider, if you look back at their drafting history, they love those big-time athletes. Even if the guys are not amazing football players and finished products, a lot of their first-round picks emphatically check those athleticism boxes. And even DK Metcalf in the second round in 2019, there were questions about his route running, but he's big, he's explosive. You couldn't really teach a lot of those things. So if it's Anthony Richardson, I think for both of those teams, I think it'd be a lot more intriguing than what it kind of falls to here with it being Will Levis.
So the other day I said, I believe that Tyree Wilson's going to be the first defensive player taken in this draft class, but I'm going to do what I think the Seahawks are going to do with this fifth overall pick. And I know you already have Will Anderson off the board. Seattle, the culture is tremendous. We know what Pete Carroll and John Schneider have built out there. I know there's off the field concerns, but with the upside of the player and what he's shown before, I'm going to have Seattle going with Jalen Carter out of Georgia at the fifth overall pick.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. It kind of feels like a culture up there in Seattle with Pete Carroll and John Schneider that could embrace Jalen Carter and really get the most out of him. And I think they really need that leader on the inside of their defensive line. Pete Carroll's been around the block in the NFL, in college. He's dealt with players like this in the past. That would be a home run pick for a team that was like a year or two ahead of their rebuild last season.
Chris Trapasso here with us from CBS Sports. So just to recap before we get to the sixth pick with the Lions, Panthers take Bryce Young, Texans go Will Anderson. I have the Cardinals moving back to 7, Raiders moving into 3, taking Anthony Richardson. Chris Trapasso did have the Colts taking C.J. Stroud, and I just went with the Seahawks rocking and rolling with Jalen Carter. We go to Detroit, which they've made some good draft picks in the last few years. Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson as well, just off the top of the cabeza. When you look at 6, who do you have the Detroit Lions taking here?
Devin Witherspoon from Illinois. And I think it's between either Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez. They just traded Jeffrey Okuda to the Atlanta Falcons, the former number 3 overall pick, who was not drafted by the current regime of GM Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. But I think Christian Gonzalez is a little bit too similar to Jeffrey Okuda, that he's this long, lanky, athletic player. Devin Witherspoon's a little smaller. I think he'll do better mirroring wide receivers in the NFL. He kind of fits what the Lions are building on defense. He is a ferocious player, not as fast as Christian Gonzalez, not as long as Joey Porter Jr. or some of the other top corners in this class, but as a run defender, as a hitter, as a press man on an island corner, I think he's the best one in this class.
So then I moved to pick 7. Remember, I had a trade. The Raiders move up to 3. So then the Cardinals are here in at 7. It would not surprise me if the Cardinals trade back once again, because you have a new GM in Monty Ossenfurt. This kind of does feel like it's going to be a lost year anyway in the first year of a rebuild with the Cardinals. And you don't know when Kyler Murray's coming back, and eventually DeAndre Hopkins will get traded. But I'll make a selection here, and I'll have Tyree Wilson going off the board to the Arizona Cardinals, as they will make him the 7th selection in the NFL draft. you at eight. Who do you have the Falcons taking?
This is difficult. This would probably be, I don't want to say worst case scenario for the Falcons, but one that would be like, man, with Will Anderson gone and Tyree Wilson gone, would not be that good of a scenario for them. Give me a second here. How about Lucas Van Ness from Iowa? Lucas Van Ness is only 21 years old, turns 22 this summer. Didn't really play a lot at Iowa last season, in that he was an underclassman, and it's kind of weird, but Kirk Ferentz has this philosophy where the seniors that have paid their dues, they get more of the playing time. The pass rush moves are there. The bull rush is certainly there. He's long. He's 6'4", 270 plus, and he's just scratching the surface on how good of a player he could be. So a lot of what I just said about the Falcons, I think, would really apply here to that defense. That's what they need, that true alpha pass rusher.
All right, let's go to nine. And I have the Chicago Bears, and this will be my final selection. And then Chris Trapasso will wrap things up with the 10th pick. So far right now, Bryce Young, one to the Panthers, Will Anderson, two to the Texans, Richardson, three to the Raiders in a trade, CJ Stroud, fourth to the Colts, Jalen Carter, fifth to the Seahawks, Devin Witherspoon, sixth to the Lions, seventh, I have Tyree Wilson going to the Cardinals, and eight, you just had the selection of Lucas Van Ness to the Atlanta Falcons. At nine, I'm kind of stuck with Christian Gonzalez here, a corner, which they could use, or I go an offensive lineman maybe in Peter Skoronski. Just because the way that I've seen Gonzalez mocked as definitely a top 10 pick, and some people are iffy on Skoronski. I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't know if he's going to go 10. I'll go with the corner here, Christian Gonzalez in at nine for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly addressed the secondary in last year's draft relatively early, and they love Braxton Jones, the fifth round pick out of Southern Utah last season at left tackle. They like Tevin Jenkins on the right side. It wouldn't shock me though if they go back to that well, because Christian Gonzalez probably on a lot of teams' boards is the number one corner, and to get him at nine after trading back, you obviously got all those extra selections in the move back with Carolina. It wouldn't be a bad idea to build up the defense. They certainly got DJ Moore, Chase Claypool at the trade deadline last year. I wouldn't categorize this as a home run pick for the Bears, because I do think they do need to address more of the offense, but they are kind of in a weird spot there, and just truly going with the best player available, I don't think is ever a bad idea.
And finally, 10, here's the fascinating scenario if you're an Eagles fan, because they could use future help on the offensive line with guys like Kelsey and Lane Johnson getting up there in age. You have all the linemen available on the offensive side of the ball, but then at 10, Bijan Robinson could be screaming at the Philadelphia Eagles. So Chris Trapasso, take it away. What do the Eagles do at 10?
I don't think they're going to go Bijan Robinson. I think Howie Roseman is smarter than that. I mean, they signed Rashad Penny to a very cheap deal, and that's not to say that I think Rashad Penny is going to be their bell cow and he's not going to get injured again, and he's their long-term answer. But the fact that they signed him to such a cheap deal makes me think that Howie Roseman understands that you can get these veterans coming off their rookie deals for not a lot of money and get quality players, and that they're much more likely to draft a player later than use a premium pick, this extra selection at number 10 overall, on Bijan Robinson. I'm going to have them picking Paris Johnson from Ohio State. And he does kind of feel like that redshirt type. They did it last year with Cam Jurgens and Jason Kelsey at that center spot. With Paris Johnson, you're getting someone, maybe not the cleanest film in the class, but super long arms, played guard, played tackle at Ohio State, very athletic. You know that you're getting an NFL caliber body. And to what you mentioned, Zach, they like to really load up in the trenches. So whether it's Kalijah Kancey here, Broderick Jones, I think Paris Johnson, though, is someone that if he did need to play as a rookie, could do that. It plays with a high floor and also has big time upside because of his measurables and his athleticism.
Are you down on Peter Skoronski? Just wondering, the fact that he didn't make in the selection here?
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower on him. I view him as more of like a back half of the first round type player as opposed to top 10. And if we look at kind of the history of Howie Roseman, he likes those measurables too. Like Lane Johnson was a physical freak, former tight end at Oklahoma. It would be surprising if the Eagles picked Peter Skoronski at 10. the shorter-ish arms? And is he maybe a guard, but probably a tackle at the next level? And I think he's a good athlete, but I don't know if he's a Philadelphia Eagles lineman caliber of athlete and what they've seemingly really prioritized or gravitated toward during the Howie Roseman era.
So this is a fun exercise. Last thing that I'll ask you before we let you go, Chris Trapasso, who's the one player or two, or give me one or two players that you're really optimistic on that we didn't address here in the top 10?
Elijah Cansey from Pittsburgh, who I kind of just hinted at for the Eagles. They lost Javon Hargrave. He would be the perfect replacement. If they picked him there at 10, I don't think that would be a bad selection. Now, of course, what I just said about Peter Skoronski, he certainly would not check the measurables box, being like, you know, 6'1", 280 plus pounds with short arms. But in terms of just getting after the quarterback, I think he is the best pure pass rusher in the entire draft. He's not going to give you as much run defense as Aaron Donald or a lot of these other smaller players, but Kalijah Kansey, with his athleticism, his pass rush move arsenal, explosion, and that kind of being in vogue at the defensive tackle spot in today's NFL, they're hard to find. I feel like Kalijah Kansey, the team that picks him, will know what to do with him. Won't ask him to eat double teams. Won't ask him to play much on those obvious running downs. But just getting up the field, he can beat blockers in so many ways. I'll be surprised if he's not a very good pass rusher in the NFL.
Chris Trapasso, nice new cut. That's how you know we're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, because you're all business this time of the year. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, Zach.
Weddings are a celebration of finding the perfect fit. And with Indochino, you can design a custom suit made to your measurements. Go to INDOCHINO.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any order of $399 or more.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's dream come true time as Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia go toe-to-toe in a battle for undefeated supremacy this Saturday, April 22nd on Showtime pay-per-view. Go to sho.com/PPV and snag a front row seat. Okay, two things. We'll react to the mock draft in just a second that we just did with Chris Trapasso. But number one, Hickey, James Harden just got ejected? This is, I know that we're now living in pretty much an unverified world of Twitter, but I just saw that video. He's trying to create separation, does give an elbow. It wasn't anything malicious, though. And the next thing you know, he gets tossed when earlier in the game, Claxton does a step over on Embiid, and Embiid gives a kick where I don't know if it hit Claxton in the jewels, but it hit him on the left inner thigh groin area. And Embiid didn't get tossed. Now, this is how you know this ejection is crazy, because I follow a lot of Sixers fans. A lot of Sixers fans, when Embiid didn't get tossed, said they are lucky that Embiid didn't get thrown out of that game. And then those same fans who thought Embiid should have got tossed said there's no way that you could toss James Harden. I don't get how you don't toss Embiid, but then you just ejected James Harden. That doesn't make any sense to me.
And Harden has no one to blame but himself. He's an idiot. You should have learned, if you want to hit someone in the balls or in the nuts and the gonads and the jewels and stay in the game, you kick them. You don't punch them. Do you not learn anything? Kicking in the private area is okay.
What is this, Will Ferrell now, kicking and screaming?
Punching, not okay. Know the line,
give me
James.
A half calf.
You have no one to blame. Give me a juice box. Yeah. No one to blame but yourself.
My favorite part of that movie, when they run the play with the little kid and they hoist him up and they score the goal.
Byung-sung.
Yes, thank you. This is stupid,
but
though.
Yes, if someone's going to get ejected
for
hitting someone in the gonads, it should have been Embiid 1,000%. It was intentional. He tried to do it.
Can we just go cojones?
Cojones.
Or Ross Tucker. Let's pay homage to Ross Tucker Cajones.
If you want to hit some, or again, the intention, right, is all what it matters. Embiid try to kick Nick Claxton in the cojones. And I think I'm with you. Embiid, Harden was just trying to drive by and actually had his hand as you're trying to drive by Royce O'Neal. Hit Royce O'Neal in the gonads.
Now, I just have a suggestion here. I have a programming idea. I'm going to run this by you and see if you're okay with it, okay?
Sure, I like this. I'm the PD now.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you're going to love the
idea. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
On Maggie and Perloff 2 days ago, and we'd be a good company guy here. Maggie and Perloff, the show before us, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, which you could hear on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app, they reenacted the Draymond Green stomping on the chest of Sabonis, where Maggie got on top of the desk here. Perloff was laying on the desk, and she stomped on Perloff's chest. Can we reenact the Joel Embiid situation where you'll be Claxton, you'll do the step over on me, and then I'll just kick you in the jewels?
No. I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Marco, don't you think that's a good programming idea?
It's not bad. Might get a lot of views.
Right?
Marco, you be Nick Claxton then.
Yeah, no, I'm going to pass.
How about you be Royce O'Neal? I'll be James Harden.
I'm going to pass. But thank you. I'm also not the producer of the show.
I'll be James Harden. Zach could be Joel Embiid, and you could be the Nets, both Nets players.
You want to elbow Marco in the cojones?
I'll let you do the kick.
For kicking. The elbow's a little too personal. We don't need no elbow and hand contact.
I'll be Joel Embiid.
Just the foot here. We don't need no HR violations,
I have no problem being Joel.
I think you're being selfish. I think a lot of people enjoy seeing you in pain with your sports teams. So I think they would also see, I won't kick you hard. I'll kick you the same way that Embiid kicked. Very light. Little tap.
Way. I'm in too much pain already.
You know what I've learned
here? I need more physical pain.
What pain are you in? Hold on. You look at Marco and look at me. If anyone's in pain, it's us. You being in pain.
Wait, what are you two in pain about?
We're just large human beings. We got a lot of weight to carry around. You don't know what it's like to be big. Our back just hurts all the time randomly. And Marco knows that's true. You're like, what, 150 pounds soaking wet?
175 all muscle.
Okay? Oh, yeah, 175 all muscle. All like string beans.
Well, sure.
I don't think you're for the show.
When it comes to getting hit in the cojones, I am not.
No. I won't hit you in the cojones. I'll hit you in the inner thigh. Embiid.
I don't trust your aim. Do not trust your aim at all.
Oh, I'm... I think I would be accurate. Dead on. Intentionally missing. And
so if a listener wants to call in and volunteer their cojones, go ahead.
People enjoy seeing you in pain on social media. You say it all the time. I'm shocked. Whenever something negative happens with the Colts or Penn State, you get hundreds of tweets.
Right. Yes, exactly. So
I'm in
pain.
Give the people what they want, gosh damn it.
No, not absolutely not. Sorry.
Wow.
No way.
Folks, what you're hearing right now is just someone that doesn't love you, that is hot take kicky, and he's not for the show.
In this situation, I'm absolutely not for the show. I am being selfish. I'm looking out for myself without a doubt.
I'm just looking up Spike's number here. I may have to give a phone call. I may want to put the producer position open.
You're in a Sixers game? Oof.
Yeah, that's also true. Good luck. Yeah, call him. Yeah, see how that goes. We're both out of a job, and that's the case.
I actually think if
I might be finishing
Spike,
up the show at that point.
I think if I called Spike during a Sixer game, he would answer. I did take a little run at Spike. He was making fun of Spencer Dinwiddie, and I said, okay, Spike Kuzma. He liked it right away. I think he would pick up because I think Spike would know that if I'm calling him, something seriously is going wrong during a Sixer game.
And then you came with that.
He may tell me to go bleep myself.
Yeah, so yeah.
He
will.
He may kick me in the cojones.
Yeah, might be you on the video. Yep.
But I think Spike is always for the content first. And I think that he would love the idea and would tell Ryan to stop being so soft and just let me kick him in the groin.
I agree with all that. I think he'd rather know 5 minutes after the game is over, though.
Okay. So, you know what?
Programming decision. So, actually, that's probably the last time.
Programming decision. I'm going to make an executive decision around here. There's about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. JR, take an hour off, all right? You don't need to come on until 11 o'clock. But we'll stick around here just to have the chance to kick Hickey in the groin.
Spoiler alert, you can call Spike all you want. It ain't happened.
Let me tell you, other producers here would do this.
Good for them, I guess. Or, sure.
Shouldn't you try to be a good teammate here?
No. I feel actually better about myself that other producers would do it. I feel stronger.
I just think you're weak.
No, I'm smart.
Marco, your ruling is he's not for the show.
It's not exactly a team thing, but I am a little proud of him, though, because this is something that he hasn't, he hasn't stood his ground all that much in certain situations. I feel like this is a good one for him. Now, we got to start small. Should he have done it? Yes. Somewhat proud of him, though, because you got to take a stand sometimes.
Should I have done it?
Well, you should. I mean, that's
Marco, if you were in my shoes right now, you'd be saying the same thing.
I'm not in your shoes.
If you were, what
Marco's
would you be
a
saying?
Vet.
There's a lot of
Marco's a veteran. He's a locker room leader.
I don't
people
do,
like him.
I don't do ifs.
From the clubhouse. Here.
I don't do ifs.
Oh, here we go. I don't live in a world. You're now all of a sudden a professional coach. Well, I don't live in a world of what ifs.
I don't do ifs. That's what I don't do hypotheticals. Tell you. I'm not in your shoes.
I think it's Shane Steichen's go-to line.
You really want to do the change shoes? Really? Seriously?
In this situation, about getting kicked in the nuts. Yes, absolutely.
You want to take care of the two kids and the one that's coming in 3 weeks?
No.
You want to do that?
I'm not equipped for that. Well, then, don't give me back your shoes.
You know what? We should exchange spots. I'd much rather have you come to Kansas City with us than him. At least you'll actually try some things and eat some good barbecue. And like Kiki will be like, ribs? You know what? Take the bone out. Let me just get some spare ribs.
Not true. I'm ready to eat. Ready to eat.
Little envious. I've never been to KC. So.
I think we should bring you instead of Hickey. I think he would be more valuable. There's no doubt about it. Marco and yours truly out in the town in Kansas City. Barbecue places, get ready.
Wow. You better make sure there's no video on that. Oof. That might be a little rough.
George Costanza eating the ice cream esque.
Possibly.
Look at that fella. Yeah, possibly. He's having a great time out there.
Possibly.
Marco and I would need a forklift to get back to the airport with how much food we would eat. All right, well, come on back. We'll react to the mock draft and wrap the show up in style with the closing bell.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your yard aren't exactly comfortable. And while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good, while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're super natural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, wrapping up shop on a Thursday. So we did this top 10 mock draft with Chris Trapasso. I was in charge of the odd picks. He was in charge of the even picks. Hickey, let's have a little conversation about the results of this draft. Bryce Young did go number one to the Carolina Panthers. I don't think that surprises anybody, but there was that sentiment early on when they made the trade that it was going to be C.J. Stroud. Where things got interesting is with the second overall pick, because for months you thought the Texans were going to take a quarterback, and Chris says he believes that the Texans are not going to select a quarterback if Bryce Young isn't available. And then that means he's going with Will Anderson. The Alabama connections with the Texans, you know who their GM is, Nick Caserio, who is from the Patriot regime, very close with Bill Belichick. Belichick very close with Nick Saban. It's kind of funny the way that you look at it, that it looks like Nick Caserio with the first two picks from either what's been out there about Bryce Young or what Chris just went with. It feels like only the Alabama guys are being considered right now.
And fairly enough, when they're the two best players in the draft, too, and unless you get an offer that blows you away, I think you should draft a number two.
What did you make of my decision here? Raiders with the third pick through a trade. The Cardinals fall back to seven. I still don't think the Cardinals, especially if Stroud doesn't go in the first two picks, are going to keep that pick there in at number three.
Now, I would agree, and it makes sense for the Raiders to trade up, and it also makes sense for the fact that they take Anthony Richardson and not Stroud, because when you have Jimmy G there, I don't think you're going to draft C.J. Stroud. I know kind of plans change, and maybe you were expecting almost the entire time that Stroud was not going to be there, so that's why you signed Jimmy G. But I don't think you sign Jimmy G and then also draft a guy in C.J. Stroud who is and will play week number one.
Yeah, and it's funny, when you go through an exercise like this, I said that I thought Tyree Wilson was going to be the first defensive player off the board. That was one of my predictions from the other day. And then I also thought, right, the first two quarterbacks would be Young and Stroud. But when I'm going through this exercise and I was in charge of having the third overall pick, it's like, okay, I made a trade, Cardinals fall back, but you're exactly right. With Jimmy Garoppolo there, it doesn't make sense to take Stroud, because Stroud is one of the more ready prospects at the quarterback position, if not the most NFL-ready prospect at the quarterback position. So to take Stroud while you already made the commitment to Jimmy G doesn't make sense. If it is the Raiders moving up to three, that's why I kind of went the best of both worlds, and they move up and they go get Anthony Richardson. I do wonder, though, who else is in play to move up to three? Like, is Tennessee? Do they go move up to number three? I think they're currently at 12. Are there any other teams that stand out to you
that you could potentially see moving up into that three spot. And I do have two that come to mind.
I think one, like, I think the Colts have to be in there, like, as a discussion point.
Okay. I wasn't thinking the Colts, but you're fair.
I think it's very likely, but I think they have to be talked about. I think the Seahawks.
That was one of mine.
Low key could be aggressive. They talked about capitalizing off that number five spot. This is like kind of a wild card. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think the name is worth talking about. The Commanders.
Ooh, I like that.
Like, they've pledged their allegiance, basically, to Sam Howell.
Stupid.
But I, you know, so I don't think it's going to. That's a team I absolutely should consider. I don't think it's going to happen, but.
My other team, I was in the same ballpark with the Seahawks, maybe the Detroit Lions as well. Because you're kind of in that luxury. You're so close.
Right.
You're not bad anymore, but no one probably thinks Goff is your long-term answer. For C.J. Stroud to the Colts, I think that's... Are you starting to open up more and more to the idea that you're going to end up getting Stroud, or do you still think it's going to be Levis with how much they've been talking about Levis going there?
I think it's going to be Richardson because I'm not sold that Stroud... I think he still will go three. I think a team will trade up to get him. And I'm not sold the Colts will be the team to trade up.
So you think it's going to be Richardson over Levis? Is that more so what you think, or is it more so what you're hoping?
Both. I do think that they would take Richardson over Levis, and I'm also hoping they take Richardson over Levis. And that's unfortunately where I'm at in this draft process.
I don't buy the first part.
I think they would take the big swing at a home run guy and hope that, again, Shane Steichen can kind of mold him into a guy that's reliable.
Number five, isn't Jalen Carter like the perfect fit for Seattle? There are certain teams that if there are character concerns or off-the-field concerns, they go to a certain spot and everyone's like, okay, that makes sense. Seattle's one of those spots.
And they need defensive line help. And Christian on the interior, he's insanely talented. I see it. Absolutely. I like that.
And the Lions, like we said, are a neat spot. They're hoping that the board doesn't shape out this way because you would probably like if either Will Anderson or Jalen Carter are available. Now, Tyree Wilson, I think, could be an interesting pick for them there, but he ended up going Devin Witherspoon. That was a Trapasso pick. And then in at number seven, remember the Cardinals do fall back because of the trade with three to the Raiders. Then they had Tyree Wilson. This one I thought was interesting at eight. Lucas Van Ness to the Atlanta Falcons. I've seen him start to get mocked in the top 10. It's just so difficult because even though he played a bunch at Iowa, he wasn't a starter last year because of the whole Ferentz thing that Chris was explaining. But I was not expecting him to be that high in the draft in at number eight.
Same, but I feel like there's always so... one curveball in the top 10 of a player you don't really see going, all of a sudden he jumps up way up past expectations.
Yeah, you're right. Like, who would this time, probably a month or two before the draft, we weren't talking about Trayvon Walker being the number one overall pick. And he ended up going number one.
And even Derek Stingley, too, is like the first corner at number three. It's like, oh, wow. Like, that's, you know, people saying that's the second or third corner in the draft. And he goes the first one off the board in the top three.
And it should have been Sauce.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Bears going Christian Gonzalez. It wouldn't surprise me if they go offensive lineman. And then how about the first offensive lineman going off the board? This is Chris's pick. I hope the Eagles would draft Bijan Robinson, but a lot of people don't think they would. Paris Johnson. I think a lot of people have been Skoronski if he's available there, and then he ended up going Paris Johnson.
I like the idea of the red shirt where you can kind of take a chance on a project. He's not going to play with how stacked that line is, which makes sense. Also, too, no Will Levis, top 10.
It's a good point.
No Will the Thrill.
Well, if you get past really the Lions and there's not four quarterbacks taken, maybe someone does trade up. I don't think Atlanta is going to just take a quarterback to take a quarterback. So someone else would have to trade into the top 10 if we want to see all four go in the top 10 if you get past the Lions and you don't have four quarterbacks off the board.
It does feel like really past Seattle at five, it feels a lot like Kenny Pickett last year where you start to fall and it goes, there's not a lot of teams that make sense right now. They're going to be aggressive to get him. And we saw at 20 he fell.
Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Horrible job by the officials last night. The Islanders should have been going on a power play, but Carolina does win it in the extra session to take a 2-0 series lead. Here's Jesper Foss with a goal on the Hurricanes Radio Network.
Now it's Burns back in Carolina. A cross for Jesper Foss. He scores! Game over! Jesper Foss wins it in overtime!
Give a stock up to the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll stay in the Eastern Conference. The team with the most points in the league and the most wins in the league. We're up 1-0 in the series. Now it's all tied up at one as
You shift over to South Florida down south. Panthers win 6-3. Let's listen to Carter Verhaeghe when he made it a 4-2 game. Here's the Panthers radio network.
McAvoy able to dodge some pressure, but he couldn't get by Sam Bennett. McAvoy turns it over. Tkachuk in front for Verhaeghe. A shot, and he scores! Carter Verhaeghe able to give the Panthers a 4-2 lead. The Panthers cash in off the turnover. And the Panthers lead by a pair. Carter Verhaeghe set up out in front, and he's able to go top shelf past Ullmark.
Give a stock up to Carter Verhaeghe. What a wild scene in that second period between Dallas and Minnesota. So Dallas at home, already down 0-1 in this series. They ended up getting out to a 4-1 start, and the building was rocking. And then quickly, in like the span of a minute and a half, this game got to 4-3. But then Dallas was able to get two more goals at the end of the period to make it 6-3. Here's Roope Hintz, who scored his third goal of the game to make it 7-3. Here's the Stars radio network.
Haskinen, right circle. Robertson in front. Hintz scores! The hat trick for Roope Hintz. The Stars fans let him fly.
So my mistake on that, that was the goal to make it 7-3. That was the hat trick. 6-3 was his second goal of the game, unassisted. But give Hintz a stock up. And finally, Edmonton. They tie up that series, which is big for the NHL, after having that game go down in overtime in game one. Let's listen up to Kostin score the goal to make it 3-2 Oilers in the third. Here's Jack Michaels on the Oilers radio network.
Here's a steal by Kostin in the neutral zone. Wrist shot, score! Beat Korpisalo, low glove, and Cleve Kostin, who has delivered effective minutes whenever called upon, has regained the lead for Edmonton. 3-2.
Give Cleve Kostin a stock up. And finally, last night, you had an opportunity, Lakers, to go up 2-0. Heat, you had an opportunity to go up 2-0. Bucks are without Giannis. Grizzlies are without John Morant. Lakers and Heat don't capitalize. Give them both a stock down. And one more, Dylan Brooks stock down, going after LeBron James. Oh, I need someone to drop 40 before I show them any respect. Zip it. Stock down to Dylan Brooks. Fun show today. Big thanks to Elijah Higgins. Big thanks to Hickey, even though he won't let me kick him in the groin. I would also like to thank Chris Trapasso as well. Talk to you tomorrow on a Friday, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.